Hey guys, welcome to another week of the No Fly List, where we sit down with a different comedian, artist, or interesting person of color. I'm Mathir.
And I'm Layla.
And this week we sat down with comedy writer Nico Reid. We talked about how his upbringing as a half Palestinian, half black, played into his art, his writing. He's a storyteller, and that was interesting to talk about. Differences between like stand-up, improv, storytelling. Layla, what else did we talk about?
I mean, we talked about everything. I think the highlight for me was his fat baby nephew.
Oh yeah, he showed us pictures of his very cute fat baby.
And you won't be able to see any of them.
Yeah, or unless you follow him on social media.
But just picture the Michelin man, but more caramel.
And we also talked about some slam poetry, where Nico had a small period during college high school. Where he got into slam poetry. So if you guys are fans, you can listen to us talk about that.
Listen either way.
Yeah, listen either way. Welcome, Nico Reid.
Hey. Hello. Hey, guys. That's me.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you. It's been forever.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me on. It has been forever since we've seen each other.
We're getting all the members of Passport Control and The Breakdown on here. So I'm happy to finally get you on the podcast.
Thanks. Yeah. Passport Control and The Breakdown, the biggest hits of 2017, comedy-wise, to ever come out.
Everybody knows all about it.
Political suits followed. It was an amazing group.
Layla, you know a lot about it now, I guess.
I feel like I was there.
You've met all the cast members.
Remember those good times?
Good times.
It was so fun. I do know all the cast members now. I saw Mehdi's show on Netflix. Did you?
What?
He's on the Stalker show. He's a character in the Stalky show.
I didn't actually watch it.
But you saw that he was on it.
I don't know if that counts.
My girlfriend said the same thing. Saw Mehdi, and I also saw him on another thing. He pops up. Mehdi's.
He does.
He was doing an ad on the subway.
Oh, that's right. Shout out to Mehdi. So, do we have a no fly list person for this week?
You know, I was thinking about this, and I do have one.
Oh wow!
But it's a group of people. So
we have our own no fly list.
Yes. I'm a fan, a big fan of the podcast. Okay. You don't need to explain anything to me. I am on board the no fly list.
So this week's No Fly List edition are neo-Nazis.
Oh yeah,
right? Are they bad?
Because it's not just are they bad, but it's like, are they around? And the answer is they're everywhere.
Well, you just came back from reporting on
them. Yeah, I just came back from like talking to so many like quote unquote former neo-Nazis, but then they would say things and I was like,
even a reformed neo-Nazi is still pretty racist.
I mean, but that's probably progressive for them.
Right.
Just referring to them as humans at all.
They
didn't
use slurs. Referring to them.
You're right. Yeah.
They're reformed.
Yeah. So that was, it was terrible. And I did learn an interesting fact that I'll be interested to know if you guys knew already, which is that, okay, you know how some people have Nazi, like swastika tattoos? Mm-hmm.
Yes, I've seen them on TV. I've not met anybody in person with a Nazi tattoo.
But if they're red, that means the person spilled blood for the cause.
Jesus.
So what they would do is they'll just hang out in places where they know people of color walk around, and they'll just like wait to like stab them so that they can earn their colors. Yes. If it's black, it means that they killed a person of color and got away with it.
What?
Oh my God.
Yes. And then if it's not filled in, that means they're like a newbie. They're like a brand new Nazi.
Gotcha. Wait. That makes – I feel like I've seen so many more black filled in swastikas. Yeah, so does that mean everyone out here has just gotten away with murdering a person of color?
And why aren't the police on this?
They're probably part of the Nazi.
Yeah. What am I saying?
They're the reformed ones.
When they get a swastika – oh, my God. That's a hard word to say.
Swastika?
Yeah. Good. You can tell I haven't said it much, which is a good thing. They get it like not filled in at first. They just get the outline.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, let's see how this goes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've never seen a red one. Like, even on shows.
One of the guys we talked to had a red one. And it was like, he got it covered up on Sam B's show.
Oh, my God.
What?
Isn't that crazy?
I thought you meant filled in on Sam B's show, as if Sam B was completing the next level of honor for this Nazi. Not that, like, he drew over it in some way. Yeah, he got
like
it canceled
Sam
out.
Sam B did a segment where they covered it up.
I haven't seen the show in a while. I guess it's changed tones dramatically.
Like, Sam B's crossed over to the movement.
Oh, my God.
Little did we know.
Yeah, Nazis all around.
Yeah, so tell us about you.
Are you a Nazi?
I am not a Nazi myself.
You've never seen a Nazi tattoo in person. Neither have I.
I don't think so. Yeah. Though sometimes, like, I feel like if I spent more time with a certain person, maybe I would. But, like, you just got to walk in the other direction.
Yeah.
Who am I? I'm Nicolo Aid, or Nico Aid.
Ooh.
Comedian, writer, written with Athir before. Born and raised in New York.
Oh, wow.
New Yorker.
A real New Yorker.
A rare breed.
Yeah, seriously.
I've been nervous because I'm guessing a lot of the no-fly list speaks Arabic, the listenership.
NSA.
The NSA doesn't speak Arabic. They just badly translate.
But they have people.
But they have Google Translate. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have Google Translate.
And my name's Nico, which unfortunately means fuck him in Arabic. And I can also go by Eid, if that's better. Because
which means... like a holiday?
It's like a feast.
Yeah,
a feast.
Yeah.
Eid Said.
I love it.
Yeah. So that was a disturbing realization when I found that out from like cousins. And I was like, that was a big oversight on the parents.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Your dad is Palestinian.
Yeah, right? I got a mom, and I got two dads who raised me, but one dad's Palestinian, one dad's Italian, so it's the mix of names comes from that.
Nicolo
Moretti. But it's also like Aid Seman, or so Nicolo Aid is what I go by. They both named me, and I think I was just in America.
It didn't matter.
When we visit to cousins, they were like,
name is fuck him.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's a strange set of circumstances.
Yeah, you should write a TV show on your life.
Yeah, I don't like speaking honestly.
Yeah, tell me.
I just feel like, I think a lot of people go into like theater or like narrative, whatever, to go like, I wanted to explain the truth, but I like that it's pretend.
Yeah.
I like that I can express somebody else's emotions more honestly than I can express my own. Or like, it's easier to talk about something that's a story than it is in person sometimes, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
it does.
How did you get into writing?
It was one of those things where I guess I was like writing something in high school, like in like a high school comedy group, and then writing in the college comedy group, and then from the college comedy group I would like write I found my writing partner through there, and then we just try to make shows, and we kept doing it. And sometimes I think back on my life and I'm like, wait, when did you decide to do this? Like, I maybe should have like chosen to be a lawyer, but it just feels like something I've kept doing.
What did you go to school for?
I studied religion and theater. So
really?
Undergrad. Yeah.
Did you have dreams of doing religious theater?
No, but I do really like plays that are like overly biblical.
Yeah?
I do.
Tony
Kushner, Angels in America.
You just said something so much more intellectual and real than Book of Mormon. Even knew. So, like, I'm like, oh, that's the only religious play that I can hear. And Jesus
Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Yes, and Jesus Christ Superstar.
Right. There's a lot of musicals. Those aren't my jam, though.
Book of Mormon?
Yeah, I said that. That was my first one. Yeah. No.
Okay, I wasn't listening.
Someone's not paying attention. And he said something like real that I had never heard of.
Tony Kushner? Angels in America?
No.
I mean, it's a movie?
It's a movie and a play. Very famous play from the 90s. Very, very beautiful play.
Is this the one where he's like, if you build it, they will come?
No. That's Field of Dreams with Kevin Costner. That's the one where he builds a baseball and then somehow ghosts of baseball players come.
Yes.
No, Angels in America is about like AIDS in the 80s and then the apocalypse comes.
Is it the one where John Travolta is an angel? Do you know that one?
I do remember that one, and I loved that on VHS.
Yeah, what is that movie? Me too.
It was like an angel named Charlie or something like that.
Right.
Some like real like... regular name, and he does like a little jukebox dance.
I remember
being
like very moved by that movie.
Yeah, like, and I was impressed that angel like fucked. That angel had a lot of sex.
Yes, like he was like he was getting around.
Yeah. So I was trying to write that movie when I got into college.
And how did that go?
Haven't made it yet. Haven't got the remix of it yet or the redo of it yet. But it'll come out, guys. Don't you worry. You believe in me.
Well, why religion though? Like, were you brought up, or did you want it specifically religion with theater?
I think I did theater because I felt like I was going to keep doing theater. So, like, I wanted to practically study theater. And then I felt like I had enough time to do another major with theater. And so I also was, like, interested in religion. I guess, like, because it's, like, a mix of politics and philosophy And, like, narrative and drama, like, you can tell the same story over and over and over again, and it means something different in each political context or historical context that you read it. And so I guess I liked, like, reading about that a lot. Yeah. And, like, that's why I kept studying it.
That's cool. Did you grow up with any, like, dominant identity?
Yeah, definitely Christian. My family's mixed, as I said. My mom's black, my dad's Palestinian, and the other dad's Italian, and all Christian. So very Catholic, Palestinian, Christian family. I don't know. I feel like sometimes I would say as a kid, like, yeah, we're Christian, but we're not religious about it.
Yeah. There's always a caveat.
Right. It was like a very, but no, I think Christian is, I would probably be the thing, but it was never really, I was never like turned off because it was too strict. It was always just something that was like around.
Okay. So your parents did good.
Yeah, I guess.
And ethnically,
I guess so.
Did you feel ever like one thing or the other?
It's one of those things where depending on the country.
Yeah.
Depending on the country and you change race.
Yeah.
And so, like, I guess my family, I guess I'm always closest with my mother. And so my mother's family's black. I mean, mixed and black, but, like, always identified as black. And I feel like there's something in America where it's like, you didn't know you were black, but now that you're here.
Yeah.
Get ready to fight.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think my grandfather on my mother's side, or maybe great-grandfather, had come from Algeria to Nicaragua.
I was going to say, you kind of look kind of Algerian.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
a compliment.
There. Thank you.
Speak French to us.
Yes. it's like I'm in Algeria.
Exactly.
It's like I'm in Paris.
As they say. And you have to spit on the microphone when you say it. Anyway, so he went from Algeria to Nicaragua to like America. But I just always thought my grandfather was black. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, there's like an identity that's a political identity gets assumed as you're there. Yeah. But like the simplest answer is like black. The second answer is Palestinian, very much so.
Yeah.
But then also like this kind of Mediterranean identity of like it, like you, when you like you can see like, oh, Italy and like those, like you go to Italy and it looks like Palestine, and then sometimes you go from Palestine to another Arab country and you're like, oh, this actually looks a little further away.
Exactly.
Or you go look in North, like, I don't know. I feel like it sometimes depends, but like the short answer is black, then Palestinian, then like a lot of Godfather movies. A lot of like grew up watching, like I get defensive of Robert De Niro and Al Pacino very quickly.
That's amazing.
That's a very big part of my identity as well. So that's
so was your stepdad Italian?
Yeah, so he was he was Italian. He's like Jersey Italian.
Okay.
Frank Moretti.
That's amazing.
Frank Moretti.
I love it. I love it.
Frank Moretti and
I can already picture the tracksuit and the gold chains.
Yeah, he's a professor at Columbia, but at one point he made his students film him as he walked around Columbia and then played the Sopranos theme song under it. Yeah, that was like a project he made his students.
Oh my god. Did you go to school there?
I went to school at Swarthmore.
Oh right, that's
Which is like a small college outside of Philadelphia.
Oh, nice.
It's a good school.
It's a nice one. Mm-hmm. It's a nice
My
one.
My dad was a professor too, so when I was growing up, he always used to hear a school's name and say, that's a really good school. So now I'm like, that's what you say when somebody says they went to college. You're like, that's a good school. They've
good
got
school.
A good program in something.
Right. Yeah.
There are very few that it's like, that's a bad school. Like, ooh, you went there?
I know. Maybe I shouldn't ask our guests, like, where they went to school, because what if it's, like, University of Phoenix online? And I'm like, oh.
That's a good school. That's a good online program there.
Exactly.
Right? Great online program. Great internet connection if you're there on campus. It's amazing.
Yes. Wait, was it University of Phoenix or another? It was another one, because I guess University of Phoenix
there
is still
a lot of,
but one of them, like, shut down. Like, it went bankrupt or something without telling
Was that
any
the
of
Trump
the
school? Didn't he have, like, an
he
online
had
Yeah, he definitely
Trump
had a scam
school.
Online.
Trump
scam.
University?
Yeah,
that's
Trump
what it was.
University. This one was more, they did, like, medical assistance, stuff like that. And then all these pictures came out of, like, you know, people trying to go to the strip mall college, and it was just gone. And it was
just disappeared.
And they didn't get their money back and all the stuff. And it was just wild. Moral of the story is next week's no fly list, for profit colleges. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert.
Bad school.
Bad schools. That's so funny. Did you have any, like, or did your parents have any resistance kind of like with the inner racial marriage? Like, did they care? No, you're like, of course. Because I know Arabs, be a little bit racist sometimes.
No. Yes, they certainly can be. No, I don't. I mean, like, I think when I was I went to Palestine a lot. Like, I started going when I was a kid. I was like 5 and we'd go back each summer. And then I haven't gone back in a couple of years. It's like I'm overdue for a visit. But the last time I went was like maybe 3 years ago. And so I go back a lot.
We should go together. Oh, my God.
Let's go with Rashida Tlaib on her
compression. Hell yeah. Oh, yeah. My God. That would be amazing.
I feel like anytime I'm in Israel-Palestine, though, I become miserable as soon as the plane sets down. And I'm like, oh, I fucking hate this
place. More like miserable Palestine, am I right?
Yeah.
But sorry, I didn't let you finish.
Oh, yeah. You know, they weren't racist. Actually, was one of those things that seemed actually kind of interesting. Was like connections that you like when I remember when I was a kid, and I think sometimes still when I was there, but like you'd walk by a wall and it would say like Tupac and graffiti.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Or it was like Fear of a Black Planet or like Malcolm X places. And it was like interesting to see like black culture reflected outside of America in ways that like I think Palestine in particular, because it's like an occupied country, like it is a police state in ways that like America is a police state to minorities.
Yeah.
That like, oh, there's like cool, interesting connections and refractions. But yeah, definitely a lot of colorism, I think, still exists.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think but that like exists in every culture, for sure. Yeah.
But it felt like, it felt more connections. I think my dad in particular, Palestinian dad, very communist, very like, was a communist back in the day, but like very much like solidarity of all struggles together.
As it should be, yeah.
So some things not.
And so his family, they were cool with marrying your mom.
Yeah. And then on other sides as well, families have been mixed, both in on my mom's side and my Italian dad's side. Obviously the answer is yes. Like, there's lots of issues, but it doesn't like.
It's like more nuanced than that.
Like, fine. Like as much issues as life gives you.
Yeah.
I think that could happen with anything. You know. Like,
I was once in Syria. I studied abroad in Syria when I was in college, and a guy in a van in one of the services like came to me, and he was like, "Hey man, you're like mixed." I forget if he spoke it in Arabic or English. I forget what he somehow was like, could like mulatto. Like I got it. Like you're mixed, and he's like, "I get it." And I think he said this part in English because I maybe was confused. It took a while for him to get that point across, and then he was like, "Look, I'm mixed too. I'm half Iraqi and half Syrian."
And it's a big controversy.
And it was like, cool, bro. And he goes like,
I get your struggle, man.
Yeah, but it's also like, there's weird differences that you never think of when you go to a different country. Yeah. And he's like, look, it's bad for your psychology, but it's good for your philosophy. Ah. Oh, that's a cool statement.
What an Arab thing to say.
That is. I feel like older Arab men are always like philosophizing everything.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I love older Arab men because he's like very like ballerina-esque, like heavy hand gestures.
Yeah. You're going to make a great older Arab man.
I know. Yeah. I'm leaning into
You're
it.
You're always the philosophical one in our group, in the writing room. Yeah. Nico would just like go on these like rants and they would be very profound and political
what
and interesting.
What would the rants be about? Like, and would they be like serious? Would it be like Family Guy, this is what grinds my gears rants? Or would it be like Trump on Twitter rants? Or would it be like, I'm a genius, here are my thoughts, right?
I feel like that's like a Rashomon, depending on your perspective situation, because I'm sure Trump thinks he's in the genius
that's
level.
True.
Some people think he's hilarious and he's actually just Trump. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like angry. What do you think?
No, they were angry. I mean, because you were just like really vocal and I guess like they're not angry. They
were
just
they
really
about the situation? I'm just trying to be
they're
there.
Political. Okay. Political rants,
okay, so they would
usually
be about things that happen in the world.
Because our show was political.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like a thing that I get angry about, and I think it both is like hilarious and get angry about, but also like feels like such a weird nightmare sci-fi contradiction.
Yeah.
Is that like we think of human rights as like separate from like we think of them separate as like civil rights. Like we in our country have a process of civil rights, which means that like government abuses are like seen differently when they're perpetrated against some other person in the world. Like we're like comfortable invading a country. Do you know what I mean? But like, I think there's also something. So like, when I was in Syria, like the news in other countries like crazy. Like, so I was there in 2009, and they were trying to like Iran maybe is going to get a nuke, and the Syrian news is like, America, the only country to nuke a civilian population twice, thinks another country should not have a nuke. And it's like, oh right, like yeah. And so like I feel like a lot of the times it's been I feel like oh this is cosmically absurd and. Crazy, like when we think about like policies
so
in America.
Yeah, like American exceptionalism is something that I feel like people in our bubble talk about a lot, but we are also very much part of it.
Right, because you just don't really see the things like the real fucked upness around you.
Exactly.
You're like invisible to it, and I think there's something I guess also in comedy where, like, sometimes people start talking about something as a joke and then 20 years later, like, that's a tasteless joke. And it's like, oh, no, the only way it could have been brought up is as an absurd joke.
You know what I mean? I think you were really good at also tying together all of these different concepts, like you're saying, and stringing together, like, the common theme and that's what – it was just kind of funny how you, like, your mind would work and you would draw in all these, like, different things.
Like, because some people do like rant style stand up, right?
This is the thing. You've been dabbling in stand up.
I dabble in stand up.
I've always had more success in, I guess, writing because I feel like I like pretending to be somebody else rather than like speaking for myself. It's weird because not everyone wants to hear your rant.
What?
It depends who you want to hear to rant. And I think sometimes I feel like, I think the thing that I've learned doing stand up more is like the just importance of trying to like, establish a worldview or establish like what the straight man in a situation is because I feel like Palestinians have like a sick sense of humor and sometimes I'll say that are like remember this funny time when
it's like it's not a funny time to most people
right yeah it's like so like oh remember this funny time I was like driving back to the airport and I was in a van. I was like, because my cousin's in a wheelchair, so my other cousin drives a wheelchair accessible van. We drove to the airport. It's in Tel Aviv and four guys with assault rifles came out and like took apart the van. They were like, uh-oh, like, gotta get you out of here. Gotta separate you out.
God.
And then we were talking about this in a bar laughing. And the guy's like, that's not funny. And I'm like, no, it's funny because it happens all the time.
Right.
Guys, this isn't so strange. Wait, you aren't thinking about this?
Yeah, that's true.
And so sometimes I feel like I the absurdity of it feels horrific ending and, like, just establishing, like, oh, where I'm coming from or what I think is normal or what I think is, like,
I've been trying to do this bit on stage, which has not been working, but I think it's funny.
What is it?
Well, last time I was in Alabama, you know, this over, I guess I didn't talk about it on the podcast, but there was a shootout in the mall on Black Friday.
Yeah,
and I thought it was like, I didn't know if it was like a mass shooting or what was going on, but I wasn't even like that terrified. I just remember like what was going through my mind is like, I did not survive like 2 intifadas in Palestine to get shot in a mall in Alabama.
Yeah.
So I'm like, really, God, like this is how it's going to go down in like a JCPenney. Were you influenced by any singers or anybody? I was like,
and you like your poetry and stuff.
I've never written poetry. Oh. I've always just, so I was a kid.
You would story just hang out?
My bad.
Yeah. That's who, I circle back, 2003, New York City.
Why were you there? Were you wearing a fedora and like snapping?
No fedoras. It was like a lot more puffy jackets. You know what I mean? Like baggier clothes because it is New York.
That's true.
My sister took me to one when I was a kid.
Aww.
Or like when I was like 13. And it was like, oh, this is what I wanted. This is like cool.
This is cool.
Yeah.
I saw once. Do you know? Actually, you don't know her. There's a former artist and now lawyer named Hala Ali. So she had art and she's Saudi. And then she also did spoken word. And, like, when I met her and I saw her do it, I was like, that's the coolest thing in the entire world.
There are a lot of good Palestinian slam poets
out there. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, for slam poetry, and I think it's very unique to slam poetry, you have to have a good voice for it.
That's right.
Like, if you don't, it just ruins the whole thing. You know what I mean?
It's all about rhythm and
just like the cadence. Yeah, exactly. Like you have to have that.
No, not that voice. Not that voice.
This voice. I'm gonna do slam poetry from now on.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take my bits instead of making them like all my dark bits that haven't been working a stand up, I'm gonna turn them into a slam poem.
Remember when they tear gassed us at school? Actually, that is exactly it. That is exactly
That's
it.
That's what I've been doing wrong. I picked the wrong field, you guys. So we want to, do you want to transition into our little love segment?
Oh, great.
Are you ready to be our love guru?
I am. I'm very excited for it. I'm very.
Okay, cool. So this is a segment called 50 Shades of Brown, where we have people write in sometimes multicultural dating questions, and we try to help them.
I think they're usually multicultural.
They're usually multicultural. This one doesn't specify.
Really? Can I see
it?
Oh, I'm excited. There's a lot of tension. There's a lot of silent tension.
Like, the audience won't know that I'm just sitting here reading this, and I'll just read like a pause to them.
This is
so, like, I relate to this so much.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Here we go.
I love giving advice because I can face no consequences for it.
There you go.
I'll say it very confidently, but it's not my life.
You think that, but little do you know, we actually give the listeners your address and social security number. So if it doesn't work out,
they can find me. Or identity theft to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, here we go. Dear No Fly List, I'm an actor and keep meeting great women, but there are also actors, and I'm scared to date someone in my field because if it doesn't work out, I don't want to shit where I eat. What should I do? Held back in Hollywood.
Ooh, that's a great name. Held back in Hollywood. Good,
write a screenplay with that title.
Exactly. About
step one,
that
about that concept.
Boom, done.
I've just made you $1 million.
Exactly. There you go. Nico solved all of your life problems.
I think, I feel like I don't date people in the theater world.
I thought you were just going to stop
in general.
Like, I don't date people.
People are gross. Their bodies are disgusting and slime comes out of them. You should not see anybody.
That's true, though.
No, I don't date. I don't date in the theater world. I haven't really dated any actors or comedians. I think I've asked actors and comedians out, but they haven't said yes. So I don't think there's necessarily a problem.
Well, you made an attempt, so you're okay with the idea.
Yeah, you can have the idea. You can turn down, and then you have to act normal. I think afterwards, and if you can't act normal afterwards, then don't do it.
What if you meet someone that's like really great in theater and then you're like, oh, should I ask them out? But I don't know. Like,
As long as that person doesn't work for you or it's required you for a paycheck or something.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Then go for it.
As long as it's not sexual harassment.
As long as they're not depending on you for their career in some way.
It's interesting, though. We've had a few people on the cast that their significant other / spouse is also like
Layla Almas. Mm-hmm. Husband,
and
they actually met during a play. Iman. Right, and Iman and Jess, both comedians. Mm-hmm. And I see that working out a lot, but then I've seen it like in the I totally relate to this too, because I wouldn't want to date like a stand-up comedian. I think if it was like an improviser, it'd be different.
Because a different world, different worlds.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, both of those are exactly
no,
the same.
Very different
oh,
world.
Very
yeah.
different.
Very
no,
huge
no.
difference.
I've gone out with improvisers and they're more like well, first of all, they're better listeners because it's more team-oriented.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Stand-ups seem like miserable people.
They're
speaking
just
as one.
Like, you're not wrong. But stand-ups are more, I think, self-involved. There's definitely an element of narcissism because if you're just going to talk about mm-hmm. yourself on stage. Whereas mm-hmm. improvised, the whole thing is a give and take. Yeah. Listen.
That's
and
true.
Reflect.
Yes, and.
Yeah. Yes, and.
It's like every fight you have, they're like, yes, and.
Exactly. So I don't know. I can understand like not wanting to kind of muck up your life and like mm-hmm. if you see them all the time, maybe like I would try to date someone if they're an actor, like you said, not in the same
production. Not at the same commercial. When that all ends
and
you're not working
not
together,
someone who is like in the same circle as you,
right?
Because
exactly,
you can be in the same field and run in different circles.
That's a great. True. I think it's a real great and honest. I think that's a good opinion.
Yeah. Thank
well,
you.
my he's in the same field. We're actually like quite. It's. I don't know if it's like exactly because he's a little bit older, so he's further along, but it used to piss me off a lot because I'm super competitive. I'm an Aries, you know, so I used to get like really annoyed and be like, I want to succeed. I don't want him to succeed. I hope he doesn't listen.
I don't
listen to this, but but now I'm like, no, we should both succeed. But all of our
even when like we first met, you were like, I don't want you to succeed.
It was like specifically when we first met, and I was because I just like. Every person I date, I'm like, I don't trust you. I don't like you. Like, we're just dating. It has nothing to do with any of those things. But, like, no.
Yeah.
And, yeah, now I'm like, no. If you get rich, I'll take all the money. So this is in my interest. Yeah. / if you get famous. You know
That's
what I mean?
True. Mm-hmm. That's true. I think famous. There are also definitely upsides to that because who else is going to understand, like, what you're going through, mm-hmm. especially if you're in the some sort of creative field.
Right.
It must be nice to have somebody who's also in that same field. Although, now that I think about it, you could also date someone who's in a creative field, but not the exact same field.
Exactly.
So venture, like I was saying, like, even though
venture out of the swimming
venture
pool.
Out. Yeah. Don't date a stand-up, date an improviser. Come to my shows, you guys. Yeah. Well, I forgot you told me that you do storytelling too. Don't you teach workshops for storytelling?
Yeah, I work with the Moth. They have like a teaching artist thing.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I'm starstruck.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I love the Moth.
I told a story on the Moth once. That was very cool.
What? What was your story? I mean, like, give me the one line. Give me the three words. Three words that were your story.
Oh, no, I don't like that.
That's already too much. I've heard too much.
It was about like it was like a jokey. It's like it's stories that like as you're saying like don't have as many punchlines in them. Mm-hmm. So like stand up that wouldn't have worked to stand up, but about being like stopped going into Israel and
ooh,
like coming back.
Great story, great
loving
story
it.
Already. I love it. I love it.
How did it go over?
It went over well. So I think the storytelling slants, especially the Moth, it's just like so inclusive. And so like a lot of the times when you think of the Moth, the people mm-hmm. who are on the radio, it's like the people, it's like slam poetry, like a rhythm of how people speak.
Yeah.
But like at the open mics or these storytelling things, mm-hmm. there's like random people are coming in. And like the fun thing about storytelling when you teach storytelling is like everyone wants to tell you something.
Yeah.
If you just like ask like something, like most people are used to not being listened to.
Yeah.
And so things will just come pouring out. Oh, and they're great. So, and they're always really interesting. So I love storytelling. I think storytelling made me do stand up better, because I think it just made me think about like how to keep an audience engaged, yeah, if there's not a punchline.
I want you to coach me. We should like,
yeah,
you should do,
yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, because I think storytelling is something that I really want to be stronger at, because I tend to tell short jokes and mm-hmm. they're not really stories, but I'm like, this could be potentially like a 5-minute story.
Almost, yeah. Which you would know better than I do, but I feel like just as an audience, it's much easier for me to laugh in like Moth or Risk or whatever type situations, because I'm not going into it expecting to laugh. Whereas when I go mm-hmm. to stand up, yeah, I'm like, you better make me
pressure
laugh.
Is high.
And if you don't do it, like, right, I'm gonna like spite you, whatever. And there's almost maybe even like part of me that's like, I'm gonna try not to laugh because I don't want to give him, like, you know what I mean? I don't want to give it away too easily.
Yeah.
But with the Moth, like, I knew somebody who now works for like DOD that weirdly had a stint doing storytelling, and she, and you could tell, and she was telling us like a story once, like in Guantanamo, about how she like, she, it's so gross. Maybe I shouldn't tell it. I'll tell it to you guys after. But it was the most disgusting story, but I've like never laughed so hard. That's, it was so funny.
That's great.
And it was so much of it was
just like, was she intending on it being funny, or she was just like a funny person?
Both. Well, it was about her, like, you know when you go to like a camp with porta potties and or not porta potties, but like above ground sewage.
I know what you mean. Like a campground type area.
Yes, like the, some of the water gets recycled, like the faucet water gets recycled.
Nico's having a heart attack.
But the toilet water does not get recycled. And something happened. She was put in a very weird situation where she did something in the recycled water. And then the next morning, everybody was like, it's so weird. The shower, like, I took a shower this morning and it smelled really off. And then somebody was like, oh, you shouldn't worry about that. We've got like gray water, which is the recycled water, which is where the shower water comes from. And then black water, which is the toilet water. And then she realized she had done something. The woman telling the story had done something in the gray water.
That's
so now
disgusting.
The entire camp.
No.
Like,
no.
Yeah,
no.
I'll tell you the details. It's just like,
was this woman you?
No, no, because I've never been to like a camp like that. So yeah. I wouldn't. It was like a Christian camp. It was hilarious. Like every detail made it so much better. You know what I mean? It was like a Bible camp. And it's just like, oh.
I feel like when you tell stories, you have to explain so much of like who you are and where you're coming from, that things become funnier in that way, that like, oh, you get your perspective. Mm-hmm. Like, it, there's some like Mike Birbiglia punchline where he's like, so I know, I was there too. But like, if you can describe the situation and get them on your side enough, then it's so much easier to get like them laughing at jokes. Where I feel like often if I go to a stand-up show, I'm just wondering, like, is this guy a racist? Like, is this guy an asshole?
Probably.
And then like, when you tell a story, you like kind of like, you there's more empathy, and then it makes it, you understand the person's patterns of their life in a way that makes their jokes funnier because it's them.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I think storytelling is great. I love Adam Wade.
You know,
he's like won the Moth Story Slam like a zillion times.
He's the guy.
And is it the same story or new stories?
New stories, and he'll take any mundane thing that I would not even think about into turning into a story, and he makes it such a really colorful, beautiful, like, he creates a whole world around it, and that to me is like really fascinating and really creative. And it's funny, I mean, most of the time, but again, it's like the tension builds up more, I think, in a storytelling thing than stand up where it's like, all right, get to the punchline. It's like about the LPMs, laughs per minute, like literally they tell you that,
and you're like more invested in a story. You know, it's like what you said, where the audience is like, now they're like, he's like, I know, right? Isn't it crazy? And you're like, yes, it's crazy. Tell me more.
And in a way, though, it's like, it's the opposite of what you do as a journalist, because you're not supposed to come at it from emotion. It's supposed to be just the facts and the details. But do you ever like feel like you want to put an emotion into it? And
well, with like video and documentary, it's easier because you just have to get the person talking to you to show the emotion. But it's really interesting. The reason I was asking about your rants is because I also rant all the time at work. And I think I really walk that line of like, maybe I shouldn't say this at work, and maybe like, or maybe they'll hear my criticism, maybe like, you're a genius.
It's
and we'll
hard
fix
when
everything.
You're Palestinian to talk about anything.
I know. Without it coming off angry.
Exactly.
I think this actually leads well into our last segment, which is called Keeping up with the Caucasians. I don't know why I look at you to force you to say it with unison.
She looks at me to pressure me to say it.
Actually, I was looking at you to see if you wanted to say it, but then I realized.
Let's do it all together. Let's do it all together. One, two, three. One, two, three.
Keeping up with the Caucasians.
I thought it was looking up the Caucasians. I was wrong. I bet we can do it again, though, if you want.
No, that was perfect. I think I'm going to cut that out and use it for every single
We just have Nico tell the wrong title.
every single time.
So this is a segment where we talk about things that white people do, i.e. camping. And glamping. And whether we as people of color also do these things. So there are different categories. Do you want to read the categories to Nico and see? You get to choose as our guest of honor.
Definitely.
All right.
Definitely. I've recently grown a taste for camping.
The whites have been affected.
Okay, food or beverage, pop culture, music, activities, style and clothes, trending things.
I think activities sounds interesting.
Yeah, let's do activities.
Is this an app you have?
No, we just created a...
Oh, you created a spreadsheet? You guys are the most organized podcast we've ever
heard. We're very organized.
Ooh, there's a thing on here I don't know what it is.
Let me see. I think I may have added it.
No, I love it. I have to... I'm gonna say Instagramming your latte or Instagramming your food at all. I think is a good one.
Yeah,
but specifically do latte art too.
Yeah, that's true. Latte art is a very specific thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely very based in having a lot of baristas around you.
We've all like Instagrammed our food, but latte art.
Yeah, I think it's okay to Instagram food if you made it, because I Instagram some ugly food I made, but it's like, look, I cooked this for 2 hours.
That's true.
I really hate Instagramming restaurant food because it's. Well, it's not. It's not an experience that needs to be shared.
That's one of the genres of Instagram posts that I'm like, what is the purpose? Because, like, when you're on a beach, it's definitely to make people jealous, right? Mm-hmm. When you look good in fashion, it's definitely to make people thirsty for you. Mm-hmm. So when you take pictures of your food, like restaurant food.
Make people feel hungry.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or to make people.
You know the cool restaurants. I feel like it often is like a certain type of restaurant that's very presentable.
Yeah, you're
right.
You
know what I mean? Or like, I went to this very messy Sloppy Joe sandwich place that it looks like there's.
Or like if you go to Subway, like, here's my Subway sandwich.
I like if it's you're supporting a local restaurant that maybe not a lot of people know about or frequent, and I think that's a nice thing.
Or if you're like a food Instagram, then I'm like, what?
Yeah, that's your thing. Yeah. That makes sense.
It seems like we've agreed that almost all food Instagram is okay at this point.
True. Having it's started okay with hobby.
No, but like, I think I've never, okay, have we done it? I've Instagrammed food. I've never Instagrammed latte art.
I Instagram like my name when they spell it wrong.
Yeah, but you're not. I've done that before.
No, but that's very interesting because it is related to the amount of lattes you get.
That's true.
Which is part of the problem with latte art.
It's quite often. I also recently watched like this like British Starbucks documentary and I was like, oh, I'm so part of the problem. But then I just was like,
how so?
It's crazy. Like they were basically they just make the argument that Starbucks is the same as McDonald's or Coca-Cola, which it is, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the problem that I had with it, because it was so British and pretentious, is I'm like, yeah, I'm not saying it's not like McDonald's or Coca-Cola. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But and they were saying that, which I think is a very dated thing that, or maybe it's true in like middle America, but like I feel like in New York, definitely in D.C., definitely in L.A., drinking Starbucks is like uncool because it's so like fast foody mainstream.
And like franchise.
And if you have to get your, like everybody at my office get local. Only I goes feel that to like way. This fancy coffee
Actually,
shop.
I make my own coffee, but.
Yeah. So many layers of it.
Yeah, there's so many. And they were like, but there's some sort of social capital that comes with that green logo. And I was like, no, I'm going to get made fun of.
I guess,
of
but also
logo.
You didn't go to Dunkin' Donuts.
Like
it's
true.
Dunkin' Donuts, then
I go
Starbucks,
to Dunkin' Donuts.
Then, I really like Dunkin'.
They never judge me, Dunkin' Donuts, when I ask them to just dump sugar
I
into
know.
The coffee.
They dump it anyway.
Yeah.
You don't have to tell them. It's all sugar.
I love it. That
was the whole argument at Starbucks, too. It's like there's so much sugar in everything, which the thing is, like, I'm like, yeah, I know. That's why I'm going there.
I don't know how, if I'm going to fight sugar. Like, there's lots of things for us to fight.
Yeah.
I don't think
sugar's not a battle.
I think sugar won. Yeah, I'm going to be a slave to sugar for a while. I don't really have a problem with it owning my children.
It's so like, I'll give my firstborn to sugar.
Yeah.
Like, people, I feel like it's so trendy now to be like, oh my God, that's so bad for you. Like, people at my office, now that I'm around like millennials more, because like instead of just my lonesome self, like I'm around people, they're like, oh, I've got these air puffed broccoli spears, do you want one? And I'm like, lol, no.
I have air puffed okra.
Get out of your own house.
But to be fair, I am a nutritionist. I have to practice these things.
Yeah.
And it's just been so ingrained in me. But I hate when people come up to me with like fake health trends, and that gets on my nerves.
I don't believe in any kind of diet.
I don't believe in health.
Because maybe they're like, I'm waiting for the day.
You
like,
don't believe in them, or you don't follow them.
Either or.
I don't believe in them.
I feel like half the time it's just like, oh, like America just like making fat people feel bad, and like whatever health benefits are probably like tangentially related to like mental health benefits
of not
giving a fuck.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is like, I know like hypertension and high blood pressure and diabetes all runs in my family, so maybe I should keep. I'm fucked on all three fronts.
Well, if you need a nutritionist.
Yeah, hey. But never. Just, until, like, when I turn, I don't know what, maybe 40, and they're like, everything hit you like you thought? Mm-hmm. Fuck it. I'm going out, eating whatever I want.
Yeah.
Well, you heard it here first, folks.
Nico, dead at age 33.
So basically, my entire profession as a nutritionist is a lie.
Yeah, BDSing you know what
you're
it. Saying.
You're just pushing puffed vegetables to public that doesn't already has so puffed, much.
Not
to work
okra.
About.
Is okra even a vegetable? What is okra?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't really know much about nutrition.
That's just food. That's just basic food knowledge.
I think it's technically a fruit because isn't a fruit
has seeds?
Yeah.
Has seeds on the inside.
Yeah.
Interesting. As opposed to the outside.
Yeah, like strawberries have seeds on the outside.
Oh,
or,
I was like, what?
Tomatoes have fruit on seeds on the inside.
Yeah, they're tomatoes.
Potatoes don't have
but
seeds.
But strawberries are fruit.
No,
they're
technically, yeah, they're a berry, and a berry is a separate thing from a fruit. Just, you know what, it's
wow.
Fun.
I don't know what they taught you in second grade.
Okay, seriously. do you want to do one more?
Yeah,
let's keep up with those.
Okay, we've got.
Do an embarrassing one.
An embarrassing one? Mm-hmm. Well, let's
wild
see.
Wild card.
I don't know what could be embarrassing, though. I feel like. It depends on the person.
I guess. Had a thought. We should have a white guest on and do keeping up with the brown people and then ask them if they've
turn
ever done
around?
Like, have you ever put plastic on your furniture?
Or have you? Oh, my God. That's funny. Should do that to Adam, our sound engineer, who's not here today because we're recording off-site in a very secret location.
Top secret.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Pick a good one. Pick an embarrassing one.
Mm.
I want to take down Nico.
Take down me. I was going to offer
a lot
one
of
up.
Really,
what is it? What is it? What's yours?
I think the whitest thing I love doing is kayaking.
Oh,
you go kayaking?
Yeah. If,
how?
If I'm like by a lake-ish place or some sort of water and there's kayaking
you're
involved.
You're like, I got to go kayaking.
Yeah. And then I said this to my friend who's white, grew up, middle class, working class.
Yeah.
And he says, sometimes you say things and I want to punch you.
Oh, my God.
Because I love going kayaking is the whitest thing that I enjoy doing on a ship.
Okay. I would feel totally like this is something, kayaking. Given what Nico has told me he might do. Putting cheese on everything.
Oh, I hate cheese.
You hate
what?
Cheese?
I fucking hate cheese. I mean, I like Lebanese. Like, there's certain, it has to, like, cheese has to be, like, a certain type of thing, but I don't like cheese for the sake
really?
Of cheese.
Really? I love cheese. So
interesting. I know everyone
cheese
loves
too.
Cheese. I'm against it.
Wow.
I know somebody else
so
who
for sugar,
like
anti-cheese.
I am for sugar, against nutrition, against cheese, for boycotting a fierce career. Those are the political positions I want to spread out today.
I support them.
I support it, too. I don't really...
Do Americans, I guess they put, like, you mean, like, put, like pouring, like, I'm trying to picture
like
this.
Like, broccoli and cheese.
Oh, yeah.
Fries and
cheese.
Okay.
Like,
I mean,
there's no need for cheese on
so
anything.
So it's, like, melty. I don't know why.
Like,
Velveeta.
Why is that a thing?
American cheese is kind of flavorless. It's just, like, an extra texture. You dredge on something and it seems so disgusting and fake. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm, guys, mm-hmm. I do love cheese. I once in college, this is really gross. It's not even that gross, actually. My coworker hates cheese, and especially melted cheese, and I'm like, that's, like, the best thing ever.
Yeah, that's insane.
But I was doing, like, the Atkins diet because my brother and my mom were doing it, and I was like, okay, so you couldn't have, like, carbs, so we went to the movie theater, and then we ordered nachos, and I was like, can you leave the nachos out? And just give me a cup of the cheese.
You just wanted cheese paste with like beans and jalapeno cuttings in it?
It was really good.
Hold on.
You're a monster.
How did you eat it?
I ate it. I drank it from a cup.
You drank it? I was hoping you would have solidified something.
No, there was nothing besides the cheese. I think maybe a jalapeno.
You're telling me you just drank cheese?
It was not just
not even cheese. It's like cheese product.
Queso.
It's not even queso. It's, did you know that? Oh my God.
It was delicious.
There's this thing.
I'd do it again.
The reason they never turn off the nacho cheese machine is because they never put in new nacho cheese or clean it. Do you know this? It's constantly on 24/7.
I haven't done that since college. No, I've never ordered.
Yeah. Listen, it's probably good for your immune system, though, if you can survive
exactly.
That.
Yeah, exactly. How healthy I am.
They used to. It's like a Middle Ages thing where they used to have like I forget what they call them, like forever stews or something, where they just keep a pot boiling like all the time forever, and you just like shove whatever shit
you
have.
Adding to
you
it.
Just keep adding
in
to
a,
it.
In a stew that's scenario, it doesn't sound that bad. If I'm just imagining an old woman just like for forever cooking this stew, and it always tastes bad.
That sounds amazing.
But this is like it's like this is like a known fact about movie theater nacho cheese.
I wish I knew that.
Also,
do you like cheese though?
Yeah, I mean. The thing is, I don't love food. Like, I'm not, like, a foodie person.
So you're, like, the anti-Nico.
Yeah. So I'm, like, that's why with the Instagramming food, I'm just, I don't get it because I don't see that and go, oh.
Wait, I've seen you Instagram food.
Jacques. I did a fancy meal that was, like 6 courses. And I was, like, gotta do it. But it tasted like a normal meal to me. Do you know what I mean? Like, I left
wasted on you.
Some people leave and they're, like, that was amazing. And I was, like. Okay, I guess I'm full, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, so I just don't get it. But Velveeta is actually cheese product, a.k.a. people who have cancer and can't have things like cheese because it has bacteria and their immune system is compromised, they can have Velveeta. That's how little cheese is actually in Velveeta.
That's
where did you
bonkers.
Go?
Yeah, for listeners, Athir just ran out of the room.
She heard the word Velveeta
Athir is
and
gone.
Just ran. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So for our last segment, we are going to put you through a physical trial.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. I haven't moved my body in years.
Oh, you don't have to move. You don't have to move your body. You just have to have a tongue.
Oh, okay. I can do that.
Yeah. So you.
I have a tongue.
You got that. Mm-hmm. So far, so good. And that's cool. I'm filling time. Don't worry. I won't say what it is. Mm-hmm. I'll say, though. For me, I didn't. It was not pleasant. It was so bad.
I'm not looking forward to it then.
But other people have done it, and to them, it was neutral.
Are you going to put something on my tongue?
Yes, yes.
I don't want that.
I mean, it's you signed up for this. You
that is right. I did
door.
Sign a binding contract.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's a liability release form that you signed
that's
just
right,
by
that's
entering
right.
the
that's
premises.
With my own blood.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, yeah.
For people listening, the door that this test is in is stuck, and we can't get out. Did I say door or drawer?
You said door, but
well, I would say English is my second language, but it's not.
Have you tried turning it off and on again?
I can't get it out.
Really? Oh.
This is, I've had this okay,
she's
10.
Athir has brought out an old jewelry box.
It's like a
and
teeny
she tries
tiny
to open this
drawer,
but it seems a little stuck. Oh, but she seems to be doing it.
Let me see.
How is it so stuck?
Where's the item?
You don't want me to try to just pull it.
I don't want to break it.
That makes sense.
Here, can I try?
It's right here, but I can't I don't know. I said 1 sec like I was talking on the phone. Oh, miracle.
We figured it out.
I don't know how it got stuck. But anyway, we'll put it back.
Athir has taken out a vial.
Yes.
So we've already done this. So we don't need to, but we
want to. So why don't you give him?
We're going to kill you.
I described it in very vague terms, so why don't you describe it in the scientific term?
Oh, so this is called PTC, and it used to be a genetic test that was, it was a chemical that was accidentally discovered, and basically.
Like a Marvel superhero plot?
Exactly. And so it used to be used as a genetic test back in the day because.
For like paternity testing.
For paternity testing, because it's passed down on the father's side. So if you can taste the certain element that's on this piece of paper, it means now that you're like a super taster, but if you don't taste it, then you just have no.
Okay, so I
just put it on your tongue, like lengthwise.
Like the entire thing?
Yeah, like communion wise.
The
yeah.
entire thing?
Yeah.
Bit of it?
It's like just a tiny paper? Strip of paper. Dude, what are your. Okay, you're making a face.
You don't have to eat it.
You don't have to eat it, yeah.
Like, I feel like it would have
to. It tastes like bitter.
Oh!
Not like strongly bitter, but it doesn't. It's like things like I feel like I don't want in my mouth.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's like a bitter flavored paper.
So you're
the first. You're the first man that we've had that can taste it. Yes.
I will take all your praise now. Thank you very much.
Oh my God. Yeah. This is like, what do we do with the scientific information?
Tell the world.
You can lord it over people that you're a super taster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but my taste really is.
Are you picky?
No.
Me neither.
Well, except about mushrooms and cheese. I don't like mushrooms or I don't like cheese.
You know what? Okay, I used
I
to not like mushrooms
things.
And now
do
I
do you like
love
truffle
mushrooms.
Oil?
I mean, I feel like truffle oil is like a pure status thing. Like, I've never not enjoyed something that has had truffle oil on it,
okay.
But it's also been like worth so much, it better taste. good. Yeah,
it's also such a distinct flavor. It whereas like so other good. Mushrooms, I totally get like don't taste that.
It's
good.
Like a weird texture to, yes, it, to me. Exactly. That feels like I don't want it in my teeth. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I love truffle oil, but it's not like I carry it around with me and bring it to restaurants.
Some people do.
I would love that, but mm-hmm. I can't afford it.
So now I know what to get you for your wedding.
Yeah.
Ooh. Just a giant bottle of truffle.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and cheese. And a cup cheese. Of cheese.
Oh my God. A cup of movie theater cheese.
The wedding toast is just going to be a cup of movie theater nachos.
You
cheese.
Know what? This is great information because now anytime you ever try to like health or like nutrition shame me, I'm going to be like, but remember that cup of cheese. Was it in Alabama?
Of course
it was. Okay. It was a cup of Alabama movie theater cheese. And
to be fair, I don't judge what people eat. I don't nutrition shame people. She actually doesn't.
But, you know, you walk the line.
That's true. Now I really can't. Yeah. And that's how you play PTC.
Or you're not going to clone me know. Now, right?
Can you give me that? Can I just get a strip of your hair?
Can I put this
hair?
In a Ziploc bag?
It's too late.
That's what this is for.
Your specimen.
We're going to have it. We just love you so much. We want a second Nico.
Oh, it's yay.
It would be great.
Like a cartoon character.
So, Nico, so you are part of the writing group, Marina and Nico. Let's
Marina
plug
and
your
Nico.
Work.
Yeah, you can look up www.marinaandnico.com. Mm-hmm. Nico is spelled with N-I-C-C-O. We have a lot of web series, stuff on Funny or Die.
Oh, cool.
We have a
what?
Show. Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah. Something called Smoocher, which is a pilot made at Brick TV as well.
Oh, cool.
And then we have a radio drama audio series called The Off Season, which is available from The Truth. So if you look up in podcasts, The Truth Off Season, mm-hmm. you'll
amazing.
Find this radio series that we made. So we got lots of stuff. Marina and Nico, remember the name.
How did
That's
you get
like
plug it in the show notes?
Yeah, well, I'll put all the links in. But how did you guys find each other and decide to do this type of stuff?
Oh, we worked together. We were in the same college sketch comedy group in my freshman year, and then after college, a few of us wanted to keep doing sketch like in mm-hmm. Philadelphia and in New York, and then me and Marina just kept doing it and kind of made longer narrative stuff.
Wow, I love it.
We gotta bring the band back together now.
Gotta
that
bring
I,
the band back
yeah,
together. Yeah,
I've gotten you on here. We got almost mm-hmm. all the members. Yeah, Passport Control. But.
Take Medi, and then we kind of form like Voltron.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, thank you for doing this. It was really
thank you
fun
so much
talking
for having
to you.
Me.
It was nice
Wait,
to see
where can our viewers listen? Find you on social.
Oh yeah, look up Marina and Nico.
Oh, it's everything together.
Yeah, Marina Nico.
Yeah, or you can look up Nicolo Aid. But I feel like most of my social media is like pictures of my nephew.
All right, cool.
Like I'm very bad at promoting myself, except for the one social media account that I have that goes, watch my shows, watch my shows, watch my shows, love me.
And follow us at No Fly List Pod. Write in your 50 Shades of Brown questions, mm-hmm. your love questions.
Aetheria Kub on everything, right?
Yes.
And I'm PL Barghouti on everything.
Yeah. And guys, we're on Patreon now. Drop us a couple of bucks if you want to see some exclusive content from our live stand-up shows.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Exclusives. Thank you guys for listening.
Peace.
Bye.